Greetings, everyone, and praise be Jesus Christ. This week, the great sermon of Jesus, his Sermon on the Mount, continues. And for the third week in a row, we find ourselves in that sermon. In fact, we're still in the first chapter, chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel. We've already heard the beautiful promises that he made to each one of us. Blessed are you. Last week, we received the vocation of being salt and light in the world. And now we come to the law and the commandments, the very way of life in which we are to live as Christians. And let it be clear, because it is clear from today's gospel, that Jesus Christ did not abolish or destroy the law. He doesn't do that. In fact, we are responsible for every letter, for every part of every letter in the law. And upon the law, upon the Ten Commandments, you and I will be judged. But what Jesus does with the law is interesting. He tells us he fulfills the law. There's a word in today's gospel that's worth noting. Jesus uses the word surpass. That word means to go beyond, to exceed. It's different from the word pass over. The Jews would be familiar with that, as we are. To pass over means to skip over, to the next thing. But when it comes to the law, there's no passing over. Rather, there's fulfilling the law, doing the law, and then much more. Jesus gives several examples of that in today's gospel, and it might surprise, it might shock us. He gives examples about adultery, about cursing, about hating. And if you said wow to that, yeah, then you were listening. And it is wow. Jesus says that even if you look lustfully at a woman, you're already committing adultery. Jesus says, even if you have hate in your heart, you're already sinning, committing murder. My friends, this is pretty big. And if we're honest, when he tells us about plucking out eyes and cutting off hands and tongues and ears, and we would all be deaf, mute, and dumb. But what's so beautiful is Jesus, as always, not only gives these words, gives this teaching, but he lives this life. And in doing so, he gives us great witness. Everything that Jesus does is surpassingly good. He's not just obedient to the status quo. He doesn't just do his duty. He does it very well. He does all things well. And so too are we to do that. Just a few examples to come to mind. This Tuesday is Valentine's Day. And gentlemen here, remember that. It's Valentine's Day. So if you don't do your duty of getting something for Valentine's Day for your spouse or your girlfriend, then you're a fool. But how you do that duty? Sure, it would be great to order something on Amazon, to pick up the flowers, to get them delivered. But might you surpass that status quo? Hopefully you do the status quo, you get a gift. But how might you surpass that? Maybe instead of getting the box at the door, your spouse, your girlfriend, maybe she gets the gift from you. That would be surpassing the expectation. Or how about the Super Bowl? We all hope that the Birds win, but what would happen if we also were treated, if America tonight was treated to a good game, not only a victory for the Eagles, but good sportsmanship? An example of mature athletes who have disciplined their bodies, but also their characters. And they treated the stage of the world of the Super Bowl to virtue. What might that look like? Well, my friends, that surpassing call of being salt, of being light, of being blessed, is again what we hear in this gospel. That the commandments would be lived, and they would be lived as a way of life, not as a victim, not as a drone, not as a slave, or a yes man, even to God, but that we would live his commandments as a victor, as a disciple, as a friend of God. And even though we may fail, and we will, we continue to say, yes, Lord. We continue to have a desire not only to do the law, but to surpass it, even with difficulty. What makes this possible? Only one thing, the surpassing love of Jesus that's been poured into our hearts. Friends, we live in a world that is incredibly unhealthy. We live in a very stifling, fear-filled culture. And it is a sad time. But I don't believe it's the end of the world. I don't fall for that stuff. I think the end of the world is coming for each one of us. And yes, we're closer today than we were yesterday, because guess what? We're all going to die. But we live in sad times, and Jesus Christ did too. Words like commandments, law, and authority in our own day are bad words. And they're bad because they've been associated with the abuse of power. They've been associated with the abuse of force and control. And if you've been a victim of such things, and we all have been, if not individually, certainly culturally, then resentment, anger, and hate are going to be present, and rightfully so. But it does not need to be that way. There is a proper use of power, authority, and law. There is a way of obedience and freedom and love that respects the law and does so much more. And my friends, as God's people, as his disciples, as salt and light in this world, we're called to live this and to live it surpassingly well. It might be a good question, so close to Lent, how might we give witness to that further in our lives? Knowing the surpassing love of God, how might we be faithful to God and his law in a surpassingly good way? I'd like to close with a story of a saint who was actually canonized on the same day as Catherine Drexel. Catherine Drexel is a beautiful witness of this. Long before it was politically correct to care for Black people or Native Americans, Catherine Drexel was doing it. And she's a witness, but the saint I'd like to end on is magnificent, Josephine Paquita. Josephine, we don't know when exactly she was born, but they believe it was around 1869, the year that our parish was founded. She was born in Darfur, Sudan. And from a very early age, she was born into slavery. She, at the age of 9, she was kidnapped by slave traders, beaten until she bled, and she was sold 5 times in the slave markets of the Sudan. Eventually, she found herself working as a slave for the mother and the wife of a general, and there she was flogged every day till she bled. As a result of this, she bore 144 scars on her back. Finally, when she was 13, she was purchased by an Italian merchant for an Italian consul, who returned to Italy with her. And there, after experiencing terrifying masters who had owned her up to that point, Josephine came to know a totally different kind of master. A living God, whose name was Jesus. Up until this time, she had only known masters who despised and maltreated her, or at best considered her a useful slave. But now she heard that there is a master above all masters, a lord of all lords. And he's good. He's goodness in person. She came to know that this lord even knew her, that he created her, and he actually loved her. She too was loved by none other than the supreme master, before whom all other masters are no more than lowly servants. She was known, loved, and awaited. And what's more, this master had himself accepted the destiny of being flogged, like her. And now he was waiting for her at the Father's right hand. She now had hope. No longer simply the modest hope of finding masters who would be less cruel, but the great hope. And this is the quote of hers, which is so beautiful. I am definitively loved, and whatever happens to me, I am awaited by this love, and so my life is good. Through the knowledge of this hope, she was redeemed. No longer a slave, but a free child of God. My friends, you and I are children of God as well. And we are that because he has loved us each in a surpassingly beautiful way. And this week, we hear his call that we would do the same, that we would receive his love and faithful to his law, faithful to his commandments, we would love others in a surpassingly Christian way. My friends, that's the great vocation that we have. And this teaching found in Jesus' great sermon is to be lived. I would encourage you to pray on that and with his grace to live it in a further surpassing way. May God be with us in that great call.